All right, Back to Church Sunday is next week, and so I want to encourage you to be here for that service, and also to be inviting your friends and your neighbors. Just a great intentional opportunity to get back in church and invite those with you next week. In your bulletin, there's some invite cards, so please use those. Help us spread the word. We're going to do some canvassing this week on Wednesday night, probably Thursday night as well. So keep an eye on Facebook and may send an email reminder out. We're going to canvass some of the neighborhoods around the church. If you're not able to, like we've done in the past, we've got some bundled packs of, you know, about 20 or so door hangers. So if you want to take one of those home and kind of do your street or your neighborhood sometime this week, please feel free to take some of those, and they'll be more available during the week if you'd like to use those. But just really excited. We want to try to fill every seat. You know, we've got about 450 to 500 people come on a weekend service here at Adventure now, and that's about 55 to 65% of our total regular attenders. And so we often ask ourselves the question, what would it look like if 85 to 95% all showed up one Sunday? That'll be next Sunday. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a great day. We've got a special announcement we're going to be making, and it's just going to be a wonderful opportunity to connect in that way. We hope that you'll come, bring somebody with you, and help us spread the word with either the invites, the door hangers, Facebook invitations, and all the rest. Also, you'll notice in your bulletin we announced last week that we're doing our movie weekend here in about a month, The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. The director, Dallas Jenkins, will be here for photos and autographs, and he'll be talking about the film. So we'll have two free screenings Saturday night and Sunday night. And then Sunday morning, he'll be here to speak and is also do some Q&A with the congregation. So we did this a couple years ago. Just super excited about this opportunity, and this film is fantastic. We've got some mailers and some other, you know, promotional material there in the back. So please feel free to take those and just help us spread the word. So lots of great, exciting things happening. And thank you so much for your help and your support. How great was it to have Josephat and Anna here today? God bless you guys again. Thank you so much for being here this morning. As Patty mentioned, they were scheduled to be here 2 weeks from today for our Mission Sunday, and everything just kind of got turned over with their itinerary. And so grateful that they were able to be here this morning for a short time. There is an event at Crossroads Church tonight, Tanzania with Love, at 5 o'clock, free dinner and program and all those things happening there. So if you'd like to, you know, catch more of the vision for what's happening, please do check out that event. And we're just really excited about the fact that they were able to be in the service this morning. Just a true, true blessing. Take your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew 22. If you need a Bible this morning, go ahead and lift up your hand, and one of our ushers will get a Bible to you today. If you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. Please take it home. If you just forgot your Bible today, want to borrow one, you can use it. Set it back on the bookcase after the service is over, and someone else can use it next week. But we're going to finish up with this two-part mini-series called Keeping the Main Thing the Main Thing. And so last week, our focus was on this same scripture and looking at what it means to love God with our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. And now today, what it means to love our neighbor as ourself. And as I mentioned last week, and if you missed last week, it's on our website, it's on the podcast, on the church app that we have. You can catch up there. It's coming at a time where I've done something with this series that I've not done with any other series here at Adventure Church, and that's I've recycled it and remixed it a little bit from something that we did about 30 months ago. About 30 months ago, we were over at Riverbend School, and we were preparing to make the move from Riverbend School over to this facility, and there was just so much amazing things going on. There was just lots of energy, lots of momentum, there was lots of fundraising, there was lots of activity, just a lot of wonderful things going on. And God just really burdened my heart at that time that we've got to keep the main thing the main thing. We can't get so caught up even with really good, awesome stuff that's happening at the church and lose sight of the fact that the most important things are that we're loving God and we're loving others. And I really have sensed in my spirit over the last several weeks that we're in that same kind of a season. Lots of just amazing things happening here at the church, lots of growth, lots of things happening in the different, you know, the different small groups ministries that are starting up and youth ministry and children's ministry and Great interaction happening with our church softball teams and just all this really great, exciting stuff and things that we're looking forward to both this fall and in 2018 that we again just not forget in the midst of all the excitement and all the good things that are happening to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's to love God and to love others. So some of you have heard some of this before if you were with us at Riverbend School. If not, this will be new, but I hope that it will be just a great, just a foundational time for us as we launch into a very busy, full, exciting few months here at Adventure Church of Yuba City. It was a couple weeks ago that I went to the eye doctor for my annual eye exam that I do about once every 2 years. So I do my annual exam, I put it off, I procrastinate, like I gotta get in there and get my eyes checked again. So I went in and got my eyes checked. And thankfully, my prescription was about the same. I was wearing glasses. I wanted to go back to contact lenses so I could wear sunglasses and all the rest. And I was really grateful for that. But I noticed even in the doctor's office that I was having some difficulty, even though my prescription had not changed, I was having some difficulty seeing things that were close up. I have to wear contact lenses because I can't see things that are far away. And so when I was wearing my glasses, I would wear my glasses like when I would drive and when I would, you know, have to see things far away. But then I would take my glasses off if I'm working at my computer or looking at my phone or reading a book or things of that nature. And I knew immediately that, okay, this is kind of a problem. I'm having a hard time focusing with things that are close up. And so the doctor said you could do a couple things. The first thing you could do is you could get, you know, wear both contact lenses and then just get a very some reader glasses. You know, you can get those really cheap at the store. You don't need anything too, you know, significant. But I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go with what I've got. She said, the other thing that you can do is you can have a contact lens in one eye and no contact lens in the other eye. And over time, your brain will just kind of adjust, and it will know, like, the stuff that's far away and the stuff that's near, and you'll be able to, you know, kind of adjust. And I was like, I'm not going to do that either. You know, that sounds goofy. You know, you're just the doctor. Why should I listen to you? You know, I obviously know more than you do. Wrong. So I just started wearing both contact lenses and started kind of getting used to, you know, just, you know, the realities of what it would mean to look at stuff up close until a week ago. Today, at the 9 o'clock service, I was standing up here getting ready to preach and getting ready to read, and I could not read my Bible. And I was like, now you guys are in the 11 o'clock service, so I made the adjustment. But the 9 o'clock service, I was like, I hope I didn't preach anything heretical or like come up with some new doctrine, because I like could not see what I was doing. So in between services, in between 9 and 11, I didn't have any other choice. I wasn't going to go out and find reading glasses. I popped out one of the contact lenses, and so I experimented with having one contact in one eye to see the distance so I can see the clock. Good. There you go. I thought I had way more amens than that. That's okay. And then I can see, and then no contact, so I can actually like read what I'm doing up here. And sure enough, it worked, and that's what I'm doing again today. It feels incredibly awkward. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to get used to this, but I had people tell me after first service, like, you'll get used to it. I've had to do the same thing, and it's totally fine. But as I was thinking about this, the reality of having, you know, one contact lens that sees far, and then no contact lens, you know, so that I'm able to see close, it was just reminding me of the filter of the vision that we should have in life. And that is, we should have a vision to be able to see that which is far away, which is transcendent, which would be God, but not at the expense of not being able to see the things that are right in front of us within our own field of vision, those people that are close to us in our circle, sphere of influence. We need to be loving God and loving others. We can't ever go down the path where it's just like, well, hey, I'm just loving God. Woo, I'm just praising God. I'm just worshiping Jesus. I'm just singing praise songs. I love him. I love his word. And then ignore what's happening around us. It's got to be both loving God and loving others. He which is transcendent and those who are close and nearby. So let's take a look at this text again, Matthew 22. 34 to 40, and then we're going to jump over to Luke and look at the story of the Good Samaritan. So would you stand with me, please? That's our custom, if you're able to, as we read the scripture today. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. And if I close this eye, I'm not winking at anyone, all right? I'm just trying to better gauge what I'm doing here. Bible says this, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this time we have together this morning. Thank you already, Father, just for the blessing of the music and the hugs and the handshakes and the testimonies and the opportunities that we've had just to be in your presence today. And Father, I pray for these final moments of the service as we open the Word, Lord, that you would just clear our minds and open our hearts and just help us to receive what you have for us today. Lord, we all come from different places this morning, and there's lots of things happening in our lives. But I pray, Lord, that you would just settle our hearts, quiet our hearts for these moments together, and help us to glean what you'd have for us. That'll make a difference for us as we leave and walk out these doors this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thanks so much. You may be seated. So last week, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and then you add in Mark 12, strength. And what does that mean? And then this week, loving our neighbor as ourselves. So in your bulletin, there's a place there just for some review again. We love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we work that out with these four things, all right? The heart, accept Jesus as your personal Savior, allow Him to lead you. With our soul, recognize your position in Christ and bask in His forgiveness, acceptance, and grace. Love Him with our mind, arrange your thoughts around heavenly things, and keep a proper perspective on earthly things. And love Him with our strength, prioritize your health, your time, and your resources for God's purposes and kingdom. And so now this week, what does it mean to love our neighbor as ourself? And it is, someone mentioned earlier, it is completely coincidental, even though we had Samaritan Village Orphanage represented today, that we go to Luke chapter 10 and look at the story of the Good Samaritan. So you turn over a few pages with me to Luke chapter number 10. It's page 962, if you've got one of those adventure Bibles we just handed out. And we're going to read verses 25 through 37. The Bible says this, "Behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" So he obviously was either at that previous conversation in Matthew 22, or he heard that had been said, or he caught the Adventure Church podcast. One of those things happened. So he knows exactly how he's supposed to answer this question when he's confronted with it. He says to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Verse 29, "But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied," he tells him this story, "'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." So in the time that we have remaining this morning, I just want to share 4 quick lessons from the story of the Good Samaritan. If you want to jot down some notes, you're welcome to do so. Hope it will be a help to us today. Number one, attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. Our motivation must be rooted in our desire to follow Jesus, not to earn favor or glory for ourselves. you pick up on something right away in this conversation with this young man, with Jesus, and why he's asking the questions that he's asking. The first thing you notice is that he asked them, he put him to the test. Okay, so this was going to be a test for Jesus. Again, wasn't really a legitimate, you know, like, I'm really curious, I really want to know. No, I'm going to test Jesus, because that is what we see happening throughout the course of the earthly ministry of Jesus among the religious leaders, okay? And then it goes on to say, after Jesus says, you've answered correctly, do this and live, in verse 29, but he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Okay, so his motivations were all about himself, as opposed to really capturing what Jesus was teaching here about loving God and loving the neighbor as himself, okay? So it begs the question, we need to ask ourselves the question when we consider loving our neighbors as ourselves, why are we doing the things that we are doing? Why do we do the things that we do? Is it so that we might be seen? Is it so that we might be recognized? Is it so that people will say certain things about us? Or is it because of our desire to follow Jesus and to truly help others? Oftentimes, we find ourselves in situations where we will do good, we will try to help, we will try to serve because of how it benefits us. We will try to manipulate. We see this oftentimes happening in relationships. I'm going to, you know, clean the yard, and I'm going to do the dishes, or I'm going to vacuum the floor, or I'm going to clean up the kitchen because I hope something good happens for me later. That's kind of how sometimes our minds work as it relates to our doing good. We're trying to arrange things to our own advantage. You have these verses in your bulletin today, Luke chapter 18. Let me read for you verses 9 through 14. The Pharisee and the tax collector. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Why do we do the things that we do? This conversation was all framed in the context of, this is what I'm going to be able to get out of this. And our every discussion that we have about loving our neighbors as ourselves has got to start with, how is this going to benefit them? And how is this going to demonstrate my following of Jesus Christ? Loving others has to come from a place that says, it's my desire to follow Jesus and help others. There can be no ulterior motive. So number one, attitude is everything. What's our attitude about helping others? Number two, we can know right and still do wrong. We can know right and still do wrong. Position and title are no substitute for care and concern. So in addition to the person who's been robbed and left for dead, there are three, you know, main players on the stage here. You've got the priest, you've got the Levite, and you have the Samaritan. The priests and Levites. All priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. They were in charge of the sacrifices. They were a part of the temple worship. They were people that would have known the law. They would have been people that would have said, yes, I'm honoring God with my life and with my task and with my ministry. These were people who had standing. These were people who had stature. But it did not matter. Their position and their title did not matter because they did not help when help was needed. They may have known the right thing, but they were doing the wrong thing. And as they came upon this need, they walked around it. They went along the other side because they did not want to be bothered with what circumstance God had laid in their path. And then Jesus goes on and says, but a Samaritan, in verse number 33, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Now, it's so ironic that a Samaritan would be the hero of the story. And because we're familiar with the scripture and we're familiar with some of these stories and we know the Good Samaritan and we hear the word Samaritan and it's in a very positive context, it's in a very positive light, to know that in this context, culturally, the Samaritan was never the hero. The Samaritans were half-breeds. They were the offspring of Jewish people who had intermarried with Gentile or non-Jewish people. They were very much looked down upon. They were very much castigated in this society, and they would have never been considered a hero of a story. But it's in this context, you've got the priest walking around, you've got the Levite walking around, the Samaritan steps up to the plate to help and do the right thing at that time. When it comes to loving our neighbor, it's not about what we know or who we are, but what we do. I'm glad you're in church today. And if you've been raised in the church, I'm glad that you know the scripture. And I'm glad that you've got a knowledge of God. I'm glad that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. But what are you doing to help the people around you? We read the words, the familiar words in James chapter number 1 about being doers of the word and not hearers only. 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. That's what we need to strive for. To not be just someone who hears and forgets, but someone who does and acts. So just knowing we should do these things, yes, I know I should love my neighbor as myself. I know I should be a good Samaritan. I know I should help people in need. That's not enough. Because knowing it and doing it are two different things. And we're challenged here today in our text to be a doer of the word. Does it matter? Christian, American, grew up in church, know the Bible, rich, poor, what are we doing? How are we expressing our care for those around us? So we can know right and do wrong. Number three, the third lesson, meet people where they are. Meet people where they are. True love is selfless and sacrificial. It is selfless and sacrificial. It's meeting a person right where they are. The Samaritan went to where he was while the others walked around. And we are surrounded by hurting people. I want to encourage you to go to hurting people. Reach out and extend kindness and mercy and grace and help to people around you. Meet them where they are. Sometimes we take an attitude that says, well, once they get cleaned up, you know, then we'll help. You know, like, man, that guy is oozing everywhere. Like, I'm going to wait till he stops oozing, and then I'll help him. Okay, the Samaritan went and helped him right where he was. I only help people that look like me or act like me or the same color as me or come from the same socioeconomic place as me. Heaven forbid that would describe us. We go to people where they are. That is the lesson of the Good Samaritan. In Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36, we read these words. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, so do to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Don't you wish there were some verses that weren't in the Bible? Do you ever read the Bible and just be like, moving on? I wish that wasn't in there. What a hard passage of Scripture. And so I don't want to in any way give any kind of, you know, false impression or notion like, yeah, just, you know, take two aspirin and call me in the morning. Like, it's that simple of a turnaround to be able to put into practice the idea of loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you and praying for those who abuse you. This is difficult stuff. But what my prayer is that God will put us on a path. God will put us on a path where these things can become a reality, that we're not so holding on, we're not so gripping onto the past and upon the pain that we've experienced, that we're then incapable of allowing God to do a work in our heart to bring us to a place where we can echo verses like this. It's not an overnight proposition. It's maybe a lifetime proposition that we continue to struggle with, but that is the pattern that's given to us. To love people. Some of the hardest verses in all the Bible. One of the points is that we don't get to choose who we will love and help. God doesn't create this system that says, okay, here's the ones that you can love, and here's the ones that you don't have to love. Here's the ones you have to help, and here's the ones you don't have to help. He lays it out really clear there in Luke chapter 6 that everyone is worthy of that help. Everyone is worthy of that love. We need to meet people where they are. Young, old, rich, poor, Christian, atheist, sinner, saint, gay, straight, citizen, immigrant, black, white, brown, yellow, meet people where they are. Not once they achieve the level you think they need to be at, and then we activate that mercy and compassion. Meet people where they are. That's the lesson of the Good Samaritan. Fourthly and lastly, it's a cliche because it's true. Actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. The measure of our love is demonstrated by the steps we take to help those around us. So what steps can we identify from the Good Samaritan that we can take with us as we leave today? Well, number one, notice he took initiative. He took initiative with him. He saw him. He journeyed. He came to the place where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. He took the initiative. Take the initiative. So often we're just like this. Okay, God, as soon as you bring someone right in front of me to help, I will help them. They got to come right here. As soon as someone knocks on my door and asks me what church I should go to, I will invite them to Adventure Church. I guarantee you that is never going to happen. What do we need to do? We need to take the initiative. Stop holding back and waiting. Be looking for opportunities to bless and help and encourage the people around you. So number one, he took initiative. Number two, he took care. He took care. He started helping. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. What is something tangible that you can do this week to help someone in your sphere of influence? A coworker, a family member, a friend, another parent on your kid's soccer team, a classmate. Do it. Take that initiative and then start caring for that person in a real and tangible way. The third thing you notice, he took of his time. Took his time. He was journeying. He was on his way somewhere, and he stopped what he was doing to help this person who is in need. And this is probably one of the greatest challenges that I face, and probably one of the greatest challenges that we all face because we are all so stinking busy. We don't have time to help people. We've got to slow down and look for an opportunity. And if something is going to take 2 hours out of your day that you, quite frankly, did not have time for, I want to encourage you to take that time and not allow our schedules to dictate so much of our life and consume so much of our attention. Now, we've got responsibilities, I get that. But build into your life, build into your spiritual discipline, room. For when the Holy Spirit comes knocking on your heart's door about a need, you can give of that time. We say this with kids, and it's true, and it's not just true with kids, it's true with all. How do you spell love to a child? How do you spell love to a child? T-I-M-E, right? That's how you spell love to a child. Time, attention. The Good Samaritan took of his time. He was on his way somewhere, and this was a detour. And he accepted the detour that God had laid out in front of him, and we need to be ready to do the same. Again, easier said than done. Totally get that. But I trust that that will be the trajectory that you place your life on today. And fourthly and lastly, he took his money. I don't think it's coincidental that here right in the text, it's very specific. He gives him 2 days' wages. That's 2 denarii. 2 days' wages to help take care of this stranger, this person that he's never met before. And that maybe, I don't know that he ever met him again. We don't know. 2 days' wages. Now think about that just for a minute. I can do the math in my own life. I can figure it out. Okay, I get paid, you know, bi-monthly, so I take 15 days. I take my pay, I divide it by 15, and then I multiply that by 2. That's 2 days' wages for me. Maybe you get paid every week. You take your paycheck, you divide it by 7, you multiply it by 2. Would you be willing to give up 2 days' wages for someone that you've never met to fulfill a need that God is laying it upon you to meet? Fascinating that he would be that specific. And yet that's part of the process. It's saying, it's what we talked a little bit about a few weeks ago. It's like, we're not owners of these things, we're managers of these things. And God gives us money, and God gives us resources, God gives us possessions, so that we might bless other people. How might God have you bless someone with your resources? Let me say a quick word of thanks. Patty actually mentioned it. I didn't mention it first service. What a wonderful testimony it was when the team was getting ready to leave for Tanzania for their trip that very last Sunday. The floodgates open, and they went with over and above what they had planned to go with, and even brought a little bit back. Tremendous blessing of you folks in giving in that offering and providing for God to do a work there that, as they shared, there's Adventure Church written all over that property. You've made a difference in that corner of the world, and for these children, God bless you for that. Last week, for those of you that aren't on Facebook, I posted this on Facebook. Last week, we took a special offering for the Evangelical Free Church of America, which we are a part. They have a crisis response arm to deal with, you know, calamities and turmoil that happens both in the nation and around the world. And a relief fund was set up for Hurricane Harvey, for all the folks that were affected in Texas. And so we just, you know, put out an email, said, hey, the Compassion Fund offering for this month is going to go for that relief, you know, and is going to go bless. And almost $12,000 came in last week. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise today? That's tremendous. That's tremendous. And the giving of your resources and contributing that offering, we'll probably never meet those people this side of heaven. But I want to encourage you, if you've not taken a look at the video that they sent and we posted on our church Facebook page, to check out that video and just the stories of, you know, of the ways that God is using the resources to help these people rebuild their lives that have been absolutely devastated by Hurricane Harvey. God bless you for that. And that's what God does, and that's what God expects. Take of our our money, our resources to use for His honor and for His glory to help other people. Actions speak louder than words. Let me close with a story. Let me check my other eye here. Okay, I'm still good. Let me close with a story. And as I tell this story, this is one of those St. Peter's at the pearly gates of heaven stories, okay? So if you're new to our church, like, this is not the theology we espouse to. We don't believe this is how you actually get yourself into heaven, but it is an incredibly cute story, so I wanted to share it with you today, okay? St. Peter was at the gates of heaven interviewing a man. He said, "You haven't done anything bad, but you haven't done anything necessarily good either. If you tell me just one good thing that you've done, I'll let you in." Okay, again, disclaimer, this is not how it works, okay? But just for the story, okay? He says, "Well," the man said, "I was traveling on the road when I saw a group of thugs robbing a woman. So I went up to them and I shouted for them to stop. Stop robbing this woman. Unfortunately, things got a little out of hand, and I ended up punching out their leader. Then I challenged everyone else in the group to fight me in order to save and protect this woman." "Wow," says St. Peter, "that is good. When did that happen?" He said, "About 2 minutes ago." Now, hopefully that will not be your testimony, okay? But friends, love your neighbor as yourself. Look for people around you that are in need. Take the initiative. Take care. Take of your time. Take of your resources. Help them. We've got to keep the main thing the main thing. We need to love God and love others. It's always been fascinating to me the way Jesus answers the question, "Who is my neighbor?" That's how it all started, right? So, Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus concludes the conversation by asking a question: who proved to be a neighbor? So the answer to the question is not, who is my neighbor? It's, who am I going to be a neighbor to? And that's our challenge today. Who, as I walk out these doors this morning, who am I going to be a neighbor to this week? How can we do that? Well, remember that attitude is everything. Have the right motivations in following Jesus and helping others. Remember that we can know right and do wrong. Don't allow this to become just an intellectual exercise. Let it translate into action, and don't just be a hearer, but a doer of the word. Meet people where they are. Meet people where they are, even if they're different from you, even if they don't agree with you, even if they look different from you. Meet them where they are. And remember that actions speak louder than words. May our actions speak volumes as we go from this place today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the time together this morning. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for teaching us and instructing us. And Father, just for the privilege to be in this gathering this morning. Lord, there are people all around us in need. And it may not be as demonstrable as what we've seen here with someone who's been beaten and bloody and left half dead. But Lord, certainly spiritually and emotionally, there are those kinds of people all around us. And may we truly seek to be your hands and feet in encouraging and helping where we can. Help us, Father, as a church. Help me as a pastor to keep the main thing the main thing. In the midst of all the things that are happening, may we always love you, and may we always love others. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.